Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First to date, this emergency virtual meeting of EU trade ministers, which is set to take place this afternoon as countries grapple to respond to Donald Trump's 25% tariff on all steel and aluminium imports to the United States. Now, ahead of today's meeting, the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris, said a calm response is required. He doesn't think the EU should engage in tit-for-tat tariffs. Well, for more, I'm joined by Rosie Burchard, who is Europe correspondent with DW or Deutsche Welle News in Brussels. Good morning to you, Rosie.
Good morning.
So this, we know, is an unscheduled emergency meeting of EU trade ministers. Does it show the level of concern around these impending tariffs?
Well, look, the European Commission has called these tariffs unjustified and unlawful, but I think you can also say they're unsurprising. This was heavily previewed, advertised by the US President Donald Trump. And I think there had been a sense since the new administration took over of just waiting for this to happen. And now that we have some news from the White House, EU ministers are trying to coordinate on their response. And the big question mark really for them is whether to go with a kind of carrot approach to try and get the Trump administration on side, or whether to try and use a stick or a mixture of the two. Mm-hmm. We've obviously been here before. There was a tit-for-tat trade tariffs in the first Trump administration.
So there's a lot riding on this response. And we already know that the EU Trade Commissioner Sefcovic has said that the EU will respond in a firm and proportionate way. But do we know what that means at this stage?
So the fact is there are a kind of menu of options on the table. As I mentioned, we have been here before. The EU has been in a trade, a kind of a tit-for-tat tariff dispute with the Trump administration the first time round, and they learned some lessons from that. So they, in the meantime, have changed their rules to make it easier to respond quickly and decisively in cases of suspected economic coercion. That means that if the EU wanted to escalate in the case of a bigger trade war, they would have options like excluding US firms from public procurement, like market restrictions, like counter tariffs. But I should say, important to note, the priority is avoiding that entirely. And that's why you'll hear, I think, much more from leaders or diplomats, certainly looking at ways to try and get the Trump administration on side, thinking about what Donald Trump might want, what might tempt him to review this tariff policy. Some of the options on the table could be buying more liquefied natural gas from the United States, looking at buying more military equipment, or reviewing current tariffs on US vehicle exports to Europe.
Is there much of an appetite, though, for those carrot-type moves at this stage?
I think this is a bit of you'll hear different things from different EU member states. Some will be more clear on the idea that they are ready to retaliate, that the EU is one of the biggest exporters in the world, that it really bears economic weight, that it can, you know, bring that to the table in a potential negotiation. Others, I think, will much more stress this idea of playing nice, trying to keep the Trump administration on side. And one that I've certainly heard, and speaking publicly about that, think about the Baltic states, those countries that really do rely on the defensive umbrella provided by the United States. I heard Lithuania's president, for example, the last meeting of EU ministers state, saying we need to come to Donald Trump with an offer of things that of kind of a deal that might tempt him to rethink this plan to slap tariffs. On the EU.
This, Rosie, is where things could get really tricky, though. You know, if this the United States moves beyond tariffs just on steel and aluminium, it is going to be difficult to keep everybody within the EU on the same page, right?
Quite right. I don't think there's many issues where EU member states don't have some divisions. I think what is an important point to note here, and bear with me, it's a bit technical, but you might have heard in the past talk about one country vetoing an EU decision. Maybe you've heard about Hungary blocking Russia sanctions, for example. Mm-hmm. There's a different policy area on trade. So trade is really centralized here in Brussels. And that means one member state who doesn't like the approach can't veto it. You need a much bigger number of EU states representing a part of the EU population if you want to derail a decision that's taken here in Brussels. So actually, that makes it easier to act decisively? Does it mean that you won't have discussions and bickering and debates between EU member states on how to respond? No, there will be discussions on that. And that kind of meeting that that's happening later today, and I suspect there will be more to come, that's where they'll try to get on the same page about how to respond. They haven't got their answer clear yet.
But you're expecting that there will be division. And I mean, who knows? Are we going to see some EU countries try to have their own conversations with the Trump administration? And where would that leave us?
So there's a kind of two-pronged answer to that. The first thing is that at a technical level, trade is centralised in Brussels. You can't have one EU country that goes out and strikes a trade deal with another country. It doesn't work. It has to be EU27, the European Union as a bloc. The other thing is, well, politically, if you have a country which has better ties to the Trump administration, of course you're going to have EU countries suggesting, well, why don't I have this conversation? Perhaps one country can highlight its defence spending. I mean, we know Giorgia Meloni from the Brothers of Italy party, Italian Prime Minister, has famously had quite good relations with the Trump administration. Is there something Ireland can bring to the table? What you will hear, I think, also from EU countries is just stressing this point that they say that Trump's criticism of trade deficit between the EU and US is misplaced. Trump has come up with some figures of around $350 billion of a trade deficit between the US and the EU. And if you look at EU and US figures, that simply isn't the case. There is a deficit in trading goods. That's to say the EU exports more goods to the US, things like vehicles, things like chemicals, pharma products, than the US exports to Europe. But if you look at services, things like investment banking, consulting, big tech, of course, the US exports more to Europe than vice versa. So the EU will be saying, look, our relations are complementary. We're already, we don't need to go into a battle here. Will that message be heard in the White House? So far, certainly not.
Mm-hmm. Even though it is the initial meeting, it will, would you agree, Rosie, set the tone for what's to come?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a case of trying to get on the same page. It's an informal video conference. That means they're not going to be decisions taken at it. Decisions on trade also have to be taken by the European Commission separately. So that's an executive here in Brussels. But it will definitely set the tone. It will give the EU executive a steer on what it should do next. They have vowed a firm response. So let's see what that response could be in the coming days and weeks. The message here in Brussels is very much that the bloc is prepared.
Rosie, thank you very much for taking us through it all. That's Rosie Burchard, who's Europe correspondent with DW News.